I'd like to call to order the regular session of the Berlin Mayor and Council for Monday, January 26, 2015. And as our tradition, I would invite everyone to join the Mayor and Council in reciting the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Please join us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Our pledge of allegiance is to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Our first item on the agenda, as usual, is the approval of the regular session council minutes of January 12th.
I make a motion.
All right, we have a motion to approve the regular session January 12th. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Let the record show the motion passed 5-0 for all council members in attendance. Next is the approval of the executive session minutes of January 12th.
Motion to approve.
We have a motion by council member Whittingham to approve the executive session minutes. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Also, the executive session minutes were approved unanimously. And the reason for the executive session on Monday, January 12th, was under the state article for closed meetings, was before a contract is awarded or bids are opened to discuss a matter directly related to a negotiation strategy or the contents of the bid or proposal, a public discussion or disclosure would adversely impact the ability of the public body participate in the competitive bidding or proposal process. Okay. Next, we have a request, number two, item two on the agenda, a request from the Worcester County Arts Council for a 5K run. You've come folks forward, and just, even though we know who you are, go just identify yourselves for the press. And the
sure. I'm Brian Garrett. I'm the acting president of the Worcester County Arts Council.
And I'm Erica Ritling-Ubel. I'm a board member.
And we'd like to request approval to move forward with our road race for May 16th of 2015. We have spoken with Chief Arnold and have his full support for the proposed route, and also to follow up and meet with him and Ivy after this meeting, if we have permission to approve, to iron out any details or concerns that they might have.
So we are all squared away with the chief. Is this a first or is it a...
This would be a first event for us.
Okay, good.
We are working with OC Tri Running, who has a track record of doing them here in Berlin.
Yes.
Very closely.
So. Good. Excellent. So this will be a new fundraiser.
Yes, okay. Absolutely.
Excellent.
Can I make a motion then to approve the Arts Council run on May 16th from 8 to 10?
Okay, we have a motion to approve the Worcester County Arts Council 5K run on Saturday, May 16th, 2015 from 8 to 10 a.m. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Congratulations, and I hope you have great success and good weather.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Next, we have one of our, usually it says annual presentation, but it actually ends up being two or three a year from the folks at Worcester Youth and Family Counseling. Come right forward, just again, identify yourself. And
I'm Steve Taylor, and I'm pinch hitting for Melanie Windsor tonight.
Oh, she's going to owe you big time, right?
She's not feeling well, so here I am. So thanks for having me. And I think she sent a presentation, so we have to... pull that up, we can go through that. And about 45 minutes ago, she sent me some notes as well to go along with it. Just to start out, I mean, you folks are very familiar with the Berlin Youth Club, and they've been active in town for a number of years. And participation ranges between 20 and 30 kids for events. And a lot of the things we've done this year, things we've done in the past, like we went to the pumpkin patch, we go to the beach, we go to see the movies, we go introduce the kids to enrichment things in different parks, Pocomoke State Park and Aztec, I mentioned already, some of the historic parks like Furnace Town and things like that. So we're trying to enrich these kids by exposing them to events and cultural activities that we have around here. And as I said, participation's always been good. They went to the movies today and saw a movie there, so I'm sure they had fun with that. And they also connect with nonprofits. So they might collect candies or gifts for troops abroad. They might write thank you cards or Valentine's cards to people with cancer. They hooked up with Team Brit, which is a military-based nonprofit outreach effort. And so they're constantly doing a variety of things to engage themselves in the community and make the community a better and nicer place to live. And so these kinds of activities, and also their exposure to one another, helps helps them learn and enriches their lives in ways that they don't experience in their own neighborhoods or even at their own school. You see a picture there of the Hawaiian-themed Berlin Christmas parade. I'm sure if any of you had a vote in the parade, you voted for that float because it was so well done. And the kids had a ball. You know, they like wearing the flowered Hawaiian shirts in the winter. So it was a great event. And there are some pictures in a lot of our events are in the Ray, our community room, which is located here on Main Street in the building that we're in. So they do these picture things, and they love that too. We've received some donations for the BYC and activities they do, and that's what you see in the lower right-hand corner. In fact, they're having a fundraiser coming up that's the Frozen theme. I don't have little kids anymore, but apparently Frozen is a movie that's very, very popular, especially with girls. I can't name one character, so don't ask me too many details about the movie, but the kids really, really love it. So I have heard that one before, Olaf. So that'll be the first formal fundraiser for BYC, and so I think that's going to be very popular, and that's coming up, next Friday, I think it is, and I believe the entry for that is $15. And a lot of little kids that are aware of it, that's all they're talking about. So they're very excited about that. And that shows some other upcoming events, too, beyond the ones I just mentioned.
And you're doing daycare, doing a movie morning for the town sustainable meeting.
That's right. When the sustainable, I think there are two daycare events that we're providing for the town and when they're having their community meeting. So, you know, we try to support the town in many, many ways, and that's one in which we do it, not to mention how we introduce the kids to these kinds of cultural activities. But the other thing that we want to do more of is have more of a presence with the town events. So we want to have some activities on North Main Street in front of our building, kind of a carnival-type games where they throw rings on the all over on the top of the bottom, win a prize, or they spin a wheel and get a number and win a prize. And this year we're talking about a slide. One year we had the bounce house that you may remember. The bounce house is a lot of fun, but kids bump into one another, and sometimes there's, you know, a bloody nose or something. So we think the slide might avoid some of those troubles, and we might give that a try this year. So it's, what can I say? It's a great program. The kids are having fun. We're introducing the youth here in Berlin to things that they wouldn't typically be exposed to. So it's a wonderful program, and it's popular. We have high enrollment, so all is good.
Can you tell them a little bit about the new programs Lauren's implemented, the SAGE, and I think she's doing something for the young male adults now?
Right. As you may
try to hit another age level now, which I think is good.
Right. As you may recall, we have a program for adolescent girls called SAGES, which is acronym for Supporting Adolescent Girls through Education and Strengthening Adolescent Girls Through Education and Support. That's what it is, SAGES. And it's a program where school officials identify girls that are struggling in school, struggling at home, might have need some behavioral assistance and helping them manage their anger or focus on schoolwork or whatever the case may be. And the program has been tremendously successful. The girls that come into the program are headed for the wrong path. They do a 180, and life is good. The family relationships improve. The teachers are impressed with how well they're performing at school. They get more involved in school activities like color guard, the band, things like that, that they wouldn't have considered before. And so that program has had such success, we're doing the same thing for adolescent boys. The theory all along was that, well, the boys have sports and the girls don't, and that's why we started the girls program. But there are many, many boys that, for whatever reason, that aren't interested in sports and need these kinds of activities. And so this year we started a SABRES program, again, an acronym, but boys this time instead of girls. And so the boys are doing similar kinds of activities, again, enrichment, empowerment, getting them engaged in the community, getting them to help with troops that are abroad and people struggling with cancer and all those kinds of things that I mentioned before. So again, our hope is that with the boys program, we can turn these boys around that, again, they're identified by the school as not having good performance, not having good behavior, struggling at home with this or that, and we're hopeful that we can turn these boys around like we have done with the girls over the past number of years. So again, three very successful programs, or at least SABRES, I think, will be a very successful program because of the methodology and the techniques that we use in those programs.
Does anyone have any questions for Steve? I would just make three quick comments. Is that one is that I really think that the engagement in the community is a tremendous benefit to these young people. I believe that, you know, civic involvement, caring about the community, caring about people beyond your immediate family, is something that's learned. It's not something that just strikes out of the sky, out of the blue. And it apparently also seems to give these kids, the impression I'm getting, a lot of self-esteem, some pride, and they know they're doing some good things. So I think the public service aspect of this is something I never even thought about when you all first came to get our support, but I think it's great because public service and community service is definitely, I think once it's acquired, it's lifelong. Yeah. And the other thing too is my impression from previous reports and bringing this up to date and this one is that for some of these kids, it's important that they have a larger family to be a part of.
Right.
And in many cases, it's those connections to the larger family that help them get their lives and pointed in a good direction. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something we're attempting in a very subtle but hopefully permanent way to have people in the community think of themselves as being part of a larger family. Mm-hmm. And if someone needs help, let's find them, let's give them some help. Someone is celebrating, let's all celebrate.
Right.
And I just think that again is another great way of leading by example. And in this case, it's the youth leading by example. So thank you very much.
Great points. I totally agree. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, we look forward to future updates.
All right. Thank you very much.
Congratulations. We're looking forward to hearing more about the SABRES, right?
Yep, SABRES, right. Thank you.
Item number four, the item on agenda is the presentation by Bike Maryland. Pre-game presentation is Emily Ransom and Matt Webb.
Webb, correct, Flip. Yes.
Hi, I'm Emily Ransom. I'm from Bike Maryland. I'm the advocacy coordinator.
And I'm Matt Wempe. I'm a community planner with the Maryland Department of Transportation.
So we're here thanks to the Community Foundation of the Eastern Shore. So thanks to all of their support bringing us out to the Eastern Shore. We're here to talk a little bit about the Bicycle Friendly America program. It's run by the League of American Bicyclists, and much like a lot of the other designations that communities apply for, this rewards communities that have put forward a sufficient level of bicycle friendliness, so that you guys have made significant changes enough that you are now very bikeable. So they have five different award levels. In Maryland, we now have five bicycle-friendly communities that are bronze. Our newest one is Hagerstown. We are very excited to welcome them into the fold. What this program does is it evaluates you on what they call the five E's. So it's engineering, education, encouragement, enforcement, and then just to make it work, evaluation, also known as planning. So engineering is all about creating safe and convenient places to ride and work. So some examples of this are things like complete streets policies. If you adopt something like NACTA, which is the Urban Bikeway Design Guide for your local roads, and having a connected street network. So, for example, in Berlin, you guys already have a lot of markings and a pretty good network on your state roads, which I know you guys don't control, but fortunately you get to reap the rewards of your local district putting them in, and they appear pretty well maintained. So that's very good. Other great things that we see coming out of Berlin are all the support that you guys have done for the bike trail that will be connecting Berlin to Assateague. That's another sort of built-in feature that's going to make it really comfortable for recreational and, more importantly, the novice family bicyclists, because, yeah, it's great for the people who can be out there in Lycra, but we're not all that way. And you know you've succeeded in making a bike-friendly community when you see the mom out there and a little kid either in a trailer behind her or is tootling along on the extended bike or something like that. So it's all about making it safe and convenient for the sort of novice and a little more timid bicyclists. So out of Cambridge, we have, I believe, what's going to be the first bike box in Maryland. So what this piece of infrastructure does is it's, first off, bright green. It's very noticeable. And it allows the bicycle to make the left turn ahead of the cars, which allows them to get through the intersection quickly and safely before they have to start worrying about what the cars are doing. So for education, this is about giving everybody the skills and, more importantly, the confidence that they know how to ride and that they know what to do when they come up to an intersection or they need to merge in with traffic or various things like that. So you can do this through local Safe Routes to School program. Safe Routes to School is a federal program that you can apply to. You can have bicycle opportunities for children. It would be a great program for your schools to add into their curriculum or for neighborhood groups, community groups, to do what we call bike rodeos. And these are just opportunities for kids to learn about signals and learn that when they're riding a bike, they need to act like a car. So they need to not be driving against, or riding against traffic. They need to stop at stoplights. They need to stop at stop signs. So then encouragement is all about creating a strong bike culture. These are the fun events that are going to get people out on their bike who haven't done it for a while. So these are things like Bike to Work Day and Bike Month, or maybe your mayor and you all and the council will host and participate in a little fun, short 5 mile, 3 mile, 1 mile bike ride. I saw your faces, I was bringing it down. Another thing that is starting to gain popularity are ciclovias, which are open streets. So basically for a set amount of time, you close a street and you allow the people to take it over. And you can have like community street fairs in there, and you'll see people just come out on their bikes and come out and walk. And they're really interesting, experimental type events.
We had a new name for our street event. What was that?
Ciclovia.
We're all about that.
There we go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that's the one thing that you guys have a pretty good handle on here. I have been hearing a lot about how you guys are encouraging people. Your tourism board seems to be pretty on it. I know I went and rode the Berlin Loop for the View Trail 100. Again, it might be a county initiative, but you guys can reap the rewards. Another thing that I know that I saw while looking around is you guys did a biking event, Trail Mix 2012, and this is exactly the sort of thing, and I see kids on bikes. So that's how you know it's a good, encouraging event. So then, this is the View Trail 100. Very good. I really enjoyed the route I did. So finally is evaluation, also known as planning. So this is that you guys are looking at bicycling as a safe and viable transportation option. You're planning for it, and you're measuring what is happening with it. So this is one thing that you guys have done actually a really, really good job with. I'm not saying that I'm surprised. I'm saying that you guys have a walkable, bikeable Berlin plan, and not a lot of towns, not a lot of cities have that. That is a huge step. So you guys have done a really good job with that. Other ways that you can improve, you could have a bicycle advisory or bike ped advisory committee. So this would be a couple of community members who are interested in biking, and they would just meet a couple of times a year. They'd make recommendations. And then if you guys decide to pursue a bicycle-friendly community designation, you could outsource the nitty-gritty of the application to this committee. The league also likes to see designated staff. This doesn't have to be a full-time person, especially when you are a smaller city, but this is the point person. So when somebody has a bicycle issue, who do they go to? Who in the town is your designated point person? And then another easy way that you can improve your evaluation and planning are bike counts. So before you put in any sort of infrastructure or are about to do a new change, count how many people are out there. You do this with volunteers during, since a lot of the bicycling around here is recreational, do it on a Saturday morning and see how many people you have. And then after a change has been made, you go out and you count again, and that way you have a metric. You know if things are improving or things are stagnating.
Sort of baseline.
Yeah. And so this is all about, do you have the data? Do you know if you have, if the improvements you've made have had an effect? So this is a quote I like from the League of American Bicyclists, and it's talking that bicycling is a very cheap thing to do, and no, it doesn't sound cheap when you look at the price tag, but compared to a lot of other projects, it is practical, it is cost effective, it helps you with health initiatives, it helps with attracting new residents, and it helps with tourism. So these are those benefits, and I will point out that a study, I believe it was from 2012, the economic benefit of Seagull Century, for that weekend, it brings $2.5 million into the region. And on the Outer Banks, a $6.7 million investment into a trail in Corolla, it now reaps about $60 million a year because people who bicycle are now staying around 4 days longer. So it's not just a vacation extender, but it's also a season extender. And so these are people who are going to be interested in coming in spring and fall. And I mean, I did a little biking in winter, but I don't know if people will do that. So this is my contact information. I'm Emily Ranson. My email is emily@bikemd.org. And I am always around if you guys need any help with navigating bikeability. I'm always willing to come out. This is my second time in Berlin, and I'm always happy to come back. It is great. We love seeing what you guys have done. And I guess my final suggestion, which will then lead into Matt, is one thing that would be a good thing to do as you're starting to look at yourself as a bicycling destination is look at what type of bike parking you have available currently and try to create some sort of audit system. So how can you, where do you need parking? And then how can you efficiently satisfy that need? So I'll move it on to Matt.
Sure. So thanks. I'll just be brief. So as Emily noted, there's a lot of great ideas. I see everybody's kind of furiously taking notes, and I'm sure the next note will be, well, how do we pay for all of this? Hello, I'm from the state. So, and normally when I give these presentations, I kind of go over the variety of state funding sources and federal funding sources, but actually Berlin's really blessed. You have really great staff that kind of understands how to use these funding sources that we have, and also to partner with groups. So I think, you know, really, I think it's important for you to hear, you know, the Berlin Trail that you're working on right now is something that we're really holding up as kind of a model for other communities and other counties in the state for kind of how you partner these different funding sources, how you work with different people, and how you move a pretty complex project forward. So I think you really deserve a lot of credit for that. And so it's something that we're really excited as you go through the engineering work, and then hopefully as we see the trail actually go in future years. So we're really looking forward to working with you on that. Today, Emily got a note, so I was really happy to hear Governor Hogan included money in this budget for the state bikeways program, which is a really flexible program to do bike projects at the local level. It can help fill in, kind of lead in to the federal funding. So typically, you have to have a higher level of engineering when you go to that the federal funding pot. You can use those state funds to do that, and also we're very, very flexible at the state level. So I think we're really excited for what Berlin has in store, and we're here to kind of help. And any questions, you know, working with Bike Maryland and any resources that the state can bring, we're definitely willing to kind of work with you on that.
This is great timing because there's more on our plate than ever, and we're happy about it. it's kind of spilling over, and it's very interesting. We're getting ready to have four strategic planning sessions over the next month, two at night, two during Saturday mornings, where we are inviting the greater family of Berlin to help us choose among all these wonderful ideas, to try to prioritize them, try to organize them in some way. What can be done? What's the low-hanging fruit? What can we do? What's more urgent? And basically, how can we take a plan but enthusiastic approach to many things. And one of those overall goals, we informally do, you know, priorities. And one of them that we've added to the list in this last year is to work to becoming a multimodal community. And obviously, where we're starting, or at least it seems obvious to us, where we're starting is with bicycles. Mm-hmm. I'll give you a typical example of something every time I mention, people say, why didn't we ever think of that? Parking is a challenge in Berlin, particularly during events and during most of the summer now, regardless if it's Monday or Sunday. It just doesn't matter anymore. It's busy all the time. And what we want to do is work a plan so that bicycling enthusiasts and families will have a place where they can park their car, take their bike off the rack, and ride all over town and have places to park their bikes, have places that are bike friendly. I think many businesses are anxious to, you know, become, you know, reward bikers and all kinds of special promotions. It won't all happen overnight, but the multimodal approach, I think, is going to be critical to Berlin's continuing success, because we don't want to make the downtown any bigger. We just want it to continue to thrive. And I think this, so from an economic standpoint, it certainly makes sense. Mm-hmm. And certainly the part that got our attention in the first place was the idea of recreation and health for our residents and the attractiveness for tourists. And so what we try to do is, tourism is now our number one driver of our economy, but we don't have any tourists, but we have a hell of a lot of guests. So what we try to do is make sure that when we're trying to attract people to the community, that it's in a way in which they feel part of the community. And I think biking is very natural. It checks a lot of boxes for where Berlin hopes to go, where the people are telling us. Of course, obviously, we're very excited about hearing from these strategic planning meetings. And I I'm going to be very surprised if biking is not regularly mentioned in one of the, because so many individuals have spoke to us over time. And I know it's this council's commitment to further support the growth of all aspects of bicycling. And we at least have 3/4 of the year where it's practical.
Right.
You know, if anybody comes up with a magic formula for January, February, March, you're going to be the richest person on the Eastern Shore. Okay. So, but we'll take 9 months over none, and we are looking forward to working with both of you.
Thank you very much.
Mary Bolin, our deputy administrator, speaking about the grants, she's our grants guru. Mm-hmm. And she also is very responsible for many of the initiatives that we're doing through parks and what is becoming gradually parks and recreation, and just by the nature of the changes in the town. And so I know that she's very enthusiastic about this, as well as the Parks Commission and Grow Berlin Green. There's just a lot of potential partners, the schools. I love some of these ideas. And Sharon, if you would take this presentation and just email it to everyone, so that we can download it on our computers at home and organize any way you want. But I think it was great, and some things are like, oh yeah, we're supposed to be working on that, and other ideas, wonderful. And we're going to take you up on your offer, and we're very excited. And you want to be a multimodal community, and at least so far. And we'll find out for these strategic sessions. We're trying to be a model for smaller communities in a lot of different areas.
Because we reference you guys a lot.
The idea is not, we never knew we were competing for the cool thing and doing it. But the idea is that I think many people wish to live in smaller communities, but they also want all of the, or many, of the amenities that go with it, and the sense of freedom, and the sense of safety, and the sense of interaction with other people. So we're learning as we go, but we're not afraid to try new things, and we're not afraid to stub our toe once in a while, because you always take the easy way, you end up not going very far. So thank you very much for your time, and we look very much forward to working more closely with you in the future than we have already.
All right, thanks for having us.
All right, thank you.
Mr. McMahon, I'd just like to thank Kate Patton, because I know 6 years ago when our newbies up here got elected and all, she was very instrumental in guiding us through the Go Berlin Green and what she's doing with the trails to, it's just awesome. We really appreciate, that's why we're so successful. We have such great citizens that jump in and help lead us and guide us, and been very successful. Thank you.
That's very, very good. Thank you. Very much so. And I think that's another key part of this, is that we're here sort of just as helping to
facilitate
all these different things that the community wants. But it's the active participation of residents and businesses and nonprofits and churches and all manner of parts of the community that actually make these things happen. So, if you have an interest in this, please let one of us know so that we can get everything coordinated. And of course, like everything else, I'm sure it'll end up being integrated into our web communications. Maybe eventually we'll have an app for that. we'll do whatever it takes to make it work. And we're very excited about this whole movement. And thank you very much again for recognizing Kate. Next is item 5 is a request for a suspension of open container law at specific town events.
We're getting Ivy's toes wet here. Not in liquor yet. Good evening, Mayor and Council. Ivy and I are here tonight to ask for the approval of the suspension of the open container law at 6 specific events. These events are the same as we did last year, the first being the Cool Berlin Day this year, which will be our first anniversary of being cool, the second being the May Day Play Day, third being Berlin Jazz and Blues, Fiddlers in September, Oktoberfest on October, and then our New Year's Eve ball drop on New Year's Eve. As we close a map in each of your packets showing the barricades for the containment of the alcohol. Those barricades have not changed as the last couple of years. They are the same. And as in the past, it can only be consumed in that closed area, and it must be in non-glass containers.
Does anyone have any questions for Sharon or Ivy regarding the approval of the exemptions to the for non-glass open containers for alcohol at these 6 stated events?
Just one for the chief. Chief, have there been any issues, problems with any of these functions?
We've always had issues, but there are no major problems.
Okay. And I'll make a motion.
I just have a comment. We actually start selling beer at 10 o'clock in the morning.
Well, why so late?
We took this from last year's. We can always change that if you would like.
That seems to be just a little early.
Okay. Would you like that at 12?
Yes, I would.
Okay, we will take it to 12. Just for Fiddlers, yes.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Is there any other questions or comments or suggestions?
No, I'll
state
my motion.
All right. We have a motion by Councilmember Boyas to approve.
With the change.
With the change on Saturday, September 19th, from 12 noon to 5 p.m. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Okay.
And now the events, by getting this squared away, this now allows you to start doing the promotional materials and getting them printed and
correct.
Yeah. Everything online and bookmarks. Getting going.
Exactly.
Because I have to say, it really worked out well with the Coolest Christmas Ever promotion.
Mm-hmm.
By starting that promotion in mid to late July, mm-hmm. I think really benefited the whole entire
time. Absolutely.
And it gave a lot of people a heads up as to what to expect when. Mm-hmm. And I encourage it again. The more packaging, the more ahead of the game we get.
The better.
The better. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next is our departmental reports. First, Finance Department, Natalie Saleh.
Good evening, everyone. I have a couple of things to pull off in our new software. So last time I mentioned that I would be ready to announce our choice, but unfortunately we're still reviewing and scoring because we're going through a very detailed process. We don't want to leave the second vendor who is not on our list going to be kind of behind. So we're working through the process of evaluating details and working with Barry from GFOA. So,
You feel good about the progress you're making?
Yes, we feel good about the progress, but we're not ready to have a choice yet.
Okay.
That's
something we can anticipate in the relatively near future.
Right.
No, not months from now. Okay.
Second thing on my agenda, I want to just announce that we're really happy with our Energy Assistance Fund program that we're conducting. In December, before the holidays, we have mailed letters to all the utility customers to support people in need during the winter times. And we have $2,600 in the $2,600 in donations came through to the Bank of Ocean City, to the fund that it's an account set up specially for the energy assistance. And on our behalf, we might match in dollar for dollar. So a check of $5,200 will be mailed to Maryland Assistance, and then people who will apply for those funds will receive. Those monies will be distributed from SHORUP.
That's very, very nice news. The program's in about its fifth year, I believe.
Yes.
And it's hanging right in there, if anything, growing.
It's growing.
And growing, which is great.
Thank you.
Thank you for that report. And also for the working, getting that energy assistance all done.
Yes.
The holidays and everything else going on. Next is Deputy Town Administrator Mary Bowen.
We did a notification this afternoon at the request of the Public Works Department, just reminding people to park off street as much as possible, and that tomorrow, this is in case of a significant snow event tonight, tomorrow their trash collection may be delayed. This is exactly the type of scenario the system's intended for, to get short notice out quickly. The end result was 260 emails went out, 291 text messages, and 1,400 phone numbers, 1,200 were reached, which is about average. It's an 86% connection.
So they were voicemail messages primarily.
Yes. The only ones that it does not register as a connected call is when the operator intercepts to say that the phone has been disconnected. The system can recognize that and then eliminate those phone numbers from the call list.
Great.
Can I ask, Jim, for those of you that live in Berlin, have you signed up for the program? And did you get the notice today?
Yeah, and I was going to say, I didn't listen to my voicemail, but I hit redial and called back, and it told me.
Great.
So
could you share with those here how to sign up?
There are two ways to sign up. There's an icon on our webpage in the upper right-hand corner. It says Code Red, and that's the system that's actually doing the notification. Then you can also either call Town Hall, and we'll be happy to take your information over the phone. I had a gentleman call about 30 seconds after the notification went out. I don't know, maybe his wife got it and he didn't wanted to be in on it. And it took about 2 minutes to get him signed up over the phone. We also have forms downstairs that people can submit. We sent brochures out with electric bills last month, but those are available at any time. Very, very easy to sign up, and that's all you have to do. We take care of the rest.
Great. Thank you. Thank you for that update. Next is Electric Utility Director Tim Lawrence.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. If you look behind you on the screen there, this is a job that we just completed at the Atlantic Hotel. This is one of seven locations that was in our 10-year plan to replace, basically it's called a transclosure with a pad mount transformer. That's with the cabinet off. What you see there is three overhead transformers. This is how they used to do it back many years ago. They would take overhead transformers and basically configure them in a wiring diagram to give you different type of voltages. That's the bottom of one of the transformers. They were actually at the point where they were starting to rust through and the oil was could start leaking out of it at that point where it would fall up and take out the power. This is the new pad mount transformer that we set in its place. That's the crew. They're wiring it up, getting it ready to energize it. That's the completed inside of the transformer when it's completed. And then that's the last slide. You can tell that it's a very small footprint to what was there to begin with. So actually, I talked to the Atlantic Hotel, and I said, well, now you got plenty of room to put a picnic table out there or something where you can sit outside, and they were very pleased with it. The outage went very well. It lasted from 10 o'clock at night till about 3 o'clock in the morning, and I had a company bring in two backup generators to keep the hotel up and running during the outage because they had tenants staying there, and then also the kitchen area where they keep the food at, that still had power here in the alley. That was the big project that we did throughout the week. And then In the past 2 weeks, I've done 3 energy audits at 3 different locations. I'm starting to receive a lot more requests for that now. So that's been going on. And then also, we've been working on tree trimming. This week here, we have demand reads and meter reads to do. And then also, we have started converting over to the new phone system for Comcast, wastewater treatment plant that was installed. The new phones were installed last week. And then tomorrow is the power plant and public works. They'll be changing the phones out there. And that's about it.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Congratulations on that very smooth transition there with the.
Thank you.
Next is Police Chief Arnold Downing.
Good evening. First, I'd like to personally thank the Mayor, Council, and town staff for their cards, the words of comfort during the passing of my uncle. It was truly appreciated. The department is also feeling the loss of our canine officer Titus, and again, we cannot understate the contributions that he actually provided us for over a decade. We've received many cards and forms of support, flowers from the canine family and from the citizenry, and we say thank you very much for that also. Currently, we're getting ready for the snow event. Public Works has actually set up a schedule and sent that out to us. We've advised them to make sure when they do come out, if necessary, to contact us, and we actually have an on-call schedule for our personnel also as needed. We did have several vandalisms to vehicles last night and to a few buildings, and we also like to go ahead and thank the business community for really their supporting us and assisting us in the investigation to this point. The citizenry has also been great in that investigation itself. So again, anyone that has any information, we still say, please give us a call. Anything that you might see on Facebook or any of the social media websites, nothing's too small. And again, we're working very well towards the end of this situation.
Thank you very much. Next is Planning Director Dave Englehart.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Just one item that this afternoon we had a kerosene spill on 111 Maple Avenue. I know you saw some email about it. Fire Marshal's Office and Maryland Department of Environment responded with a hazmat team. Apparently, the 275 gallons of kerosene, the tank went over, spilled in the yard. A good majority of it has flown up under the house. As normal precautions, the head tenants department take the meter out and disable the electric. I met with the tenant who rents the property. I made sure she had other arrangements, you know, for her and her daughter for the evening. She does with family. They're supposed to return tomorrow, Maryland Department of Environment and the Fire Marshal. As far as abatement right now, they dug small ditches in the front yard and put bathrooms in there to keep it in check or absorb it. They also sprayed absorbent and retardant all throughout the yard. But their assessment will have to be at some point to get under the house, and it is very low to the ground. So they may have to actually, they had told me, cut through the floors of the house to try and get at the dirt that's underneath the house. We didn't see any several departments from Stormwater and Public Works, several of the employees came out. We didn't see any evidence of it reaching the sidewalk or the street or the gutters, even though it was pouring rain at this time. I got the call a little after 3, and I went out there. So it seems like they responded quickly, the MDE and the Fire Marshal, and had it under control. I posted the house if no one's to enter. After, you know, we let her get in and get her things and find her cat. And, you know, because she was worried about the weather, severe weather for tonight, so I'll know more in the morning, and a report will be provided to me by the Fire Marshal's Office once the MDE hazmat team completes that report.
Great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Where are they located?
111 Maple Avenue.
I mean, where are the team located? They came down to
Snow Hill, I believe, from the Fire Marshal's Office.
I'm just amazed that they're
And that, I think the hazmat team in Salisbury, or that area.
I was amazed at the number of equipment that they had to do that cleanup.
And in the pouring rain, I thought I wanted to borrow one of those suits because it would have kept me dry. They were covered head to toe forever.
Thank you. Well, thank you. It's very much a very unusual situation. I don't remember anything like it. And I appreciate you. And just like I say, keep us posted. Hopefully the worst is behind us. Next is Human Resources Director Jeff Fleetwood.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Two items. I continue to summons, if you will, bring on site various insurance vendors for specifically for health coverage. That's ongoing, and hopefully I'll have over the course of the next 30 days an idea. I'll share those numbers with you as soon as they're made available to me. We are also getting very close on reaching a, hopefully reaching the posture where we'll extend an offer for administrative assistant role that we have posted. But I did want to tell the mayor and council that I actually received 61 applications for that role. Of those 61, I conducted 17 phone interviews, phone screens. And of those 17, I had 6 invites on site. And of those 6, 5 actually showed. And of those 5, 3 are being referred to the town administrator this Friday.
Okay, excellent. Very good. And next is Economic and Community Development Director Ivy Wells.
Hi, good evening, Mayor and Council. First, I'd like to extend my well wishes to Lisa Hall's mom, John.
She's doing great.
She's doing good.
Very lucky.
She's one of our volunteers at the Welcome Center on Thursdays, and we've missed her the last couple
she
of
said
days.
She wouldn't be here this Thursday, but okay. She'll be there next.
All right.
That sounds just like good.
I'll bring some cookies in for her. Just a few things for this evening. First, I'd like to start off by saying that the 120th anniversary party scheduled for this Friday night at the Atlantic Hotel is nearly sold out.
Wow.
So that's really good news. I've been working with Laura and Angela today on some of the final numbers and some of the cool things we're going to have for that evening. So I just wanted to let you know. I know that the mayor is very much involved in this project.
And just to remind everyone that the benefits and the
right,
contributions are going to help support the town and continue the program.
Right, they're being donated to the Main Street Berlin
yes.
Fund.
Yes.
And also, our next event is going to be called Indulge in Berlin, and it's Friday the 13th, which is the night before Valentine's Day, and it corresponds with our second Friday art stroll. So it's tastings of wine and food and art, and there's going to be live music, and the Welcome Center will be open with refreshments and art and music there as well.
Any chocolate? Involved?
Lots of chocolate, lots of goodies, and then also everyone will come to the Welcome Center on Friday night to register and pick up a map, and we'll also have a raffle basket there so people can enter to win the raffle basket, but they do have to report to the Welcome Center first that evening. It's going to be a really fun event, actually. And then also, I met with Secretary Ken Holt, who is the new Secretary of the Department of Housing and Community Development under the Hogan administration, just as part of the Community Development Network of Maryland, to discuss what the budget cuts will mean for community legacy grant funding and TAG grant funding. So that was interesting last week. And so far it looks good, but you never know. You just don't know. And then also, in celebration of Black History Month, I've been working with one of my volunteers, Cassandra, and I talked to Barbara Fennell today, and I have a meeting set up with her at the Germantown School tomorrow. But we're going to be having book signings, and Susan Taylor today stop by, and we're going to have a Charles Albert Tindley display going on at the Visitor Center and some other things. So stay tuned
all
for that.
At the
Welcome
Visitor Center.
Center.
Yeah. Okay. Great.
And that's it.
Very good. Excellent. Thank you very much.
hopefully that'll become maybe an annual tradition.
Right. What I plan, I have a lot of plans for the welcome. But each month, I'd like to do some type of revolving history display to involve the museum and history of the town a little bit more so. And then probably in June, I'm working on a runaway bride exhibit for June, for people get married in June. That seems appropriate.
That's a lot of history around here.
Yeah,
that's
heritage tourism.
Yeah. Our heritage, we have so many different aspects of heritage, more than many small communities, and it's something that locals can enjoy just as much as the first time visiting.
Great,
thank you. Next is the County Administrator's Report.
Before I get into the purchase orders, I just wanted to add to the Chief's report regarding the police department's preparedness. Jane wasn't able to make it tonight, but the snow plows are ready to go, the salt trucks are ready to go. We've got somebody coming on as soon as the snow starts to fall, and she's got shifts of folks set up to plow throughout the evening if necessary. So we're all set for
great.
The weather.
Well, excellent.
Weather set.
Thank you.
So let me get into the purchase orders. We've got purchase order number 1658 in the amount of $2,034.28 to Worcester Youth and Family Counseling for the balance of second quarter expenses and expenses for the third quarter. Purchase order number 1499 in the amount of $1,734.52 to Hales Electric Motor Service for emergency repair to Decant Pump. Purchase order number 1766 in the amount of $1,820.78 to Maryland Unemployment Insurance Fund for Unemployment Insurance. Purchase order number 1754 in the amount of $2,450 to AC Schultz of Delaware for troubleshooting of pumps number 1 and number 2. This would be at the Liberty Town Spray Site. Purchase order number 1530 in the amount of $2,000 to Middle Department for blanket purchase order for inspection services from January 2015 to June 30th, 2015. And that concludes my report.
Does anyone have any questions? Does anyone in the council have any questions for Laura regarding any of the five proposed purchase orders?
Motion to approve all five.
Okay, we have a motion by Councilmember Brayden to approve all five purchase orders as proposed by the town administrator. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Passes unanimously. Thank you. I don't have any comments this evening. Any members of the council?
I just hope we get rain and I hope the police and everybody stay safe out there. It's very dangerous for them out on the road when the weather's bad. For the town staff, police, EMS, very dangerous.
Thank you.
I just have a question. Question of sidewalks on Branch Street. I want to know the progress of the north coming to change.
I'm sure we're all over that.
Right. We can touch base with Jane and have her respond.
Oh, thanks.
Mayor, Josh Taylor is here. He can be able to respond.
I can give a quick update on the project if you'd like.
Sure. Thank you.
Josh Taylor, David Thornfeld. We've designed the actual sidewalk improvements already. The only last piece of the puzzle is to work out where the stormwater management facilities will be installed. We were hoping to install them at the church there, at the ditch on the adjacent property. That'd be the best fit. If that's not available, we'll have to look elsewhere. So we've been working with Jane trying to figure that out. As soon as we have a spot for stormwater, we'll pick back up. Until then, we're kind of on hold. So, any suggestions would be welcome.
Now, how close a proximity does the stormwater area need to be to where you originally had hoped now?
You want to be as close as possible because you have to install infrastructure, and of course, money is always limited. But you look for adjacent properties to where you're going to work. The whole point is to collect the stormwater and get it somewhere to be treated. But you got the money, I have the time.
But really, once that's solved, basically then it'll be all ready for soliciting proposals for that.
The sidewalk is essentially, I'd say, 90% complete.
So have you made contact with the church?
I believe Jane was getting in contact with the church.
And the church not made a decision yet, or has made a
decision? Decision has been made.
Not to do it?
That is correct.
I guess we're looking elsewhere.
Can it be channeled down to the near right 113?
It may be. It would complicate the project because now you're getting into SHA's larger storm drain collection areas. We also looked at going east towards Flower Street, where we already have a submerged gravel wetlands constructed. We may be able to send a little bit that way, but not all of it.
So, most of the drainage there belongs to the town.
Along 113? Or at Flower Street?
Flower Street. We're towards 113. That's the area that we're getting ready to improve.
Okay.
You might want to look into that.
Yeah, I was just wondering if there might be a way to connect that because it is relatively close. You know?
Yeah, we're willing to look at anything. I mean, just a matter of putting in pipe and getting it there. And what's the lay of the land? Can it fall by gravity? We don't want to get it into the pump station. You're kind of limited by the natural restrictions of the lay of the land.
Because there's not much other area there to put it unless it goes down towards that drainage ditch.
Correct. If there's no other ideas, we may have to end up talking to SHA and trying to work something out with them. It just complicates things.
Like I said, the only part that goes to the state is what goes underneath the highway. The rest goes to the town.
Not just property ownership, but the amount of impervious area that's already drained to that area.
Okay.
Thank you. Thanks for that, Peter. I really appreciate it. All right. Any other comments? All right. Next, do we have any comments from anyone in attendance here tonight, or questions, or proposals, or anything? Anybody wish to say anything? Okay. All right. Thank you for coming and attending. And do we have any questions or comments from the press?
Move to adjourn.
Okay. We stand adjourned. Again, thank you so much for your patience. Thank you.
Okay.